Hey, everyone. Merry Christmas to you. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. And I just wanted to take a bit of time and just share the word of the Lord with you based on Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. It's an incredible passage of scripture. In Matthew's gospel, he actually speaks about this amazing story of how Joseph was informed by an angel that his fiance Mary was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit with the Son of God. Can you imagine? And so the angel actually continues to instruct Joseph to name this child. And it says that she will have a son and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the Hebrew name for Jesus is Yeshua or Yehoshua. We would say Joshua in English, and means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh's restoration, Yahweh is rescue or deliverance. So it's a powerful definition for sure. But interestingly, Joseph is informed that this child will also be called by another name. Now, it's not a proper name. Jesus or Yeshua is his proper name. But in Matthew 1:23, he said, the virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. So not saying that you're to call him Emmanuel, Joseph, but they, meaning the people that get to know him and are exposed to him, will actually call him Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew what? God with us. Very powerful. So I want to share quite succinctly today the message of God being with us. Because when you think about Jesus' ministry, when he was on the earth in the days of his flesh, and all the amazing miracles that he did, typically we assign his effectiveness to his deity. In other words, of course Jesus could do all those miracles. He's God. Well, certainly this is true, that Jesus is God. The Bible clearly teaches that. He's 100% God. But he was also 100% man when he was on the earth. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8, actually speak of his incarnation and said that he put aside his power and privileges of his deity and lived as a man. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, Paul says, he gave up his divine privileges, he took the humble position of a slave, and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Wow. See, the New Testament is clear that the reason for Jesus' effectiveness in the days of his flesh was the anointing. Acts 10:38 says, you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. Emmanuel, God was with him. See, every miracle that our Lord accomplished was wrought not just merely as God in the flesh, but as a man who learned to draw from the Spirit's power and anointing. So God was with Jesus wherever he went. It was evident to all. It was the talk of the town. For example, in Matthew 15:29 through 31, it says that Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking, and the blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. Wow. So powerful. Make no mistake about it. The will and intention of our God is that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. See, anytime the Lord reveals his glory, it actually culminates in people putting their faith in him. So we read this, you know, the first miracle that Jesus performed was turning water into wine in John's Gospel, chapter 2. And it says in verse 11, he thus revealed his glory. And his disciples put their faith in him. Every time God reveals his glory, it ends up with a people who put their faith in him. So it makes sense that if we want to see people come into the kingdom, we want to see people saved and put their faith in Jesus, then we focus on seeing the revelation of his glory. See, it's a promise of God being with us, not just as he was with Jesus, but with us today as well. God longs to reveal his glory to the world. And he's chosen to do that through his church, his people, his body, and his incarnate presence on the earth. Paul shares a profound revelation. He says in Ephesians 3:19, this is the Amplified Bible, that we are the residence of God's glory on the earth. Listen to this. That you may be filled, Paul prays, through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now, Paul reiterates this truth, that the church is his body, Ephesians 1:23 in the Amplified, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. Wow, what a powerful revelation. Remember when Jesus was on the earth, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, he came to reveal the Father to the people of his day. Paul actually implies in his teaching in Ephesians and also in Colossians that when we see the church, we should see Jesus. So we see Jesus, we see the Father. When we see the church, we see Jesus. And that's God's plan. See, the gospel is not about us becoming comfortable in life. Some people have advocated that. It's all about the blessing of God, you know, being prospered and seeing, you know, his favor and his blessing on your life. But ultimately, it's not about being comfortable in life. It's about being conformed to his life. Romans 8:29 says, those whom he foreknew, the Father foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. See, it's all about becoming more and more like Jesus, conformed to his likeness. You know, it says of the apostles, Peter and John, in the days of the book of Acts, that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. They realized that they had been with Jesus. So it wasn't their education or their eloquence or their expertise that caused others to take notice. It was the presence and the anointing of God upon their lives. What a powerful revelation. God wants to reveal his glory today. Jehovah Shammah, Ezekiel prophesied. He said that God would be with his people. His presence would be with them. God wants us to experience Emmanuel, God with us. This promise extends beyond the miraculous story of the birth of Jesus. It's a reality for every believer, for you, for me, that God's presence in our lives empowers us to live in a way that reflects his glory to the world. So let me challenge you with the following. How will we, as God's people, live out the reality of God with us? How will we make this practical in our lives? Not just a theological concept, but something that we actually walk out. Firstly, let me submit to us that we cultivate his presence daily. We make it a practice of cultivating his presence daily. We commit to a life of intimacy with God. We spend time in his word, in prayer, and worship. And like the early disciples, let it be evident that you have been with Jesus. Ask yourself daily, am I carrying his presence into my relationships, my workplace, my community? Wow. Now, secondly, be the light in the darkness. In a world searching for hope, let the anointing of the Holy Spirit work through you. Share the love of Jesus with boldness and compassion. Let your life be a testimony of God's transformative power, just as Jesus' ministry was marked by healing and deliverance. Everywhere you go, bring the light into the darkness. Thirdly, live in unity with the body of Christ. Now, unity in the church is more than agreement. It's a lifestyle of love and honor. Romans 12:10 urges us to be devoted to one another in love and to honor one another above yourselves. This means preferring one another. Actively seek the well-being and growth of others, placing their needs above our own. Secondly, honoring one another, celebrating the gifts, the callings, and the contribution of others without jealousy or competition. And then thirdly, bearing with one another, showing patience and grace and forgiving as Christ forgave us. And then fourthly, working together for his glory, serving side by side in humility, recognizing that we're stronger together as one body with many parts. 1 Corinthians 12:12. So let the world see the love of Christ in how we treat one another. Now, the fourth point is this: step out in faith. Be intentional in your actions. As Zechariah 8:23 describes people who will be drawn to those who carry the undeniable presence of God. Ask God how you can be an instrument of his glory. Finally, as we live out our lives here on earth, let us carry this truth with us. The world's not waiting to hear about God. They're longing to encounter him. Guess what? Through us. We're destined to be a people wholly filled with the glory of the Lord. Let's live in such a way that those around us can say, truly, God is with you. Now, I want to share something in closing. I was praying about this message, and one of the scriptures, of course, that came to mind was the scripture in 1 Corinthians 14, where it says, if you prophesy and the secrets of the heart are laid bare, and people will fall down and worship and say, surely God is in your midst. And I'm very familiar with that passage, but there's another verse that I was less familiar with. It's found in Zechariah chapter 8, and in the New Living Translation, verse number 23, this is what it says. I want you to listen closely, and then I'm going to read it in its entire context. So it says here in verse 23, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. In those days, 10 men from different nations and languages of the world will clutch at the sleeve of one Jew, and they will say, please let us walk with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Wow. I want you to hear that again. They will say, please let us walk with you, for we've heard that God is with you. You know, that morning when I got up, it was literally just 2 days ago, I just felt like the Lord said, I want you to read that passage. And so I opened my Bible, and it says in verses 18, it says, here's another message that came to me from the Lord of Heaven's armies. Verse 19, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. The traditional fasts and times of mourning you've kept in early summer, midsummer, autumn, and winter are now ended. They will become festivals of joy and celebration for the people of Judah. So love truth and peace. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. People from nations and cities around the world will travel to Jerusalem. The people of one city will say to the people of another, come with us to Jerusalem to ask the Lord to bless us. Let's worship the Lord of Heaven's armies. I'm determined to go. Many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem and seek the Lord of Heaven's armies and ask for his blessing. And again, the next verse, which we've already referred to, speaks about them saying, please let us walk with you, for we've heard that God is with you. Honestly, I want you to hear this in the spirit. I really just felt strongly like the Lord says that his plans for the Sunshine Coast, his plans for what together we're building here, is absolutely astounding. He wants us to be a place where his glory and his power is revealed, where people can come and encounter the Lord in the fullness of who he is, in his glory, in his goodness. And I literally believe if we will truly give our yes to the Lord, and we will give ourselves completely to him, consecrated, surrendered, we'll seek his face, we'll surrender to him in all our ways, that God is going to do something incredible here on the Sunshine Coast. I'm not saying that we're the only ministry that is going to experience this, but what I'm saying is that God has a special plan. And I see part of our vision is to see people come from other countries and spend time encountering the power of the Holy Spirit, getting breakthrough and change, and even leaders from other churches coming and spending time here in our tropical paradise and just encountering God, being sent out to take revival fire, to take apostolic strategies with them wherever they go. This is a powerful revelation of what God has planned. And so I'm super excited as we step into the year 2025 that we are going to experience. Listen to this. He says that the time of mourning, the traditional fasts and times of mourning that you had kept in early summer, midsummer, autumn, and winter are now ended. This has been a difficult year in many ways, 2024. But now, he says, you're going to experience festivals of joy and celebration. I'm telling you that we're going to step into something profound. As we step out of one season into the next, God is going to do amazing things. It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it's going to be transformational as God manifests his glory